Today we're in week two of our current sermon series, a series that we're calling, and by the way, this is all on the slides above me. The series that we're in is called The Three Big Questions for a Chaotic Family. I do want to make this disclaimer, and that is that not only are we talking to chaotic families, this series is also for maybe you don't have kids or your kids have moved on, they're adults now. This is also a series for marriages, couples. It's a series for singles. It's a series for every single person here this morning. So I think I got that covered, okay? It's covered. It's for everyone. And last week what we did is we started this series and we looked at three words, and I want to touch on those words real quick. The first word we touched on was the word chaos. Chaos. And we said that many people, many families experience chaos due to the fact that their lives are just so busy. So busy. Their lives are overflowing with so many different things. So as a result, our lives are very chaotic. I do feel led to say this, and that is, let's not confuse activity with productivity. If anyone needs to hear that more than anyone, that's me. Don't confuse activity with productivity. Are you with me? Because I want to let you know, you can be the most active person in the world, yet be unproductive. So what we have is we have a lot of chaos. Second word we looked at last week was order. We said instead of chaos, we need order in our lives. Because where there's order, God gives peace. Where there's order, God gives peace, okay? Not chaos. God is a God of order. He's a God of peace. So how do we bring order to chaos? That's the third word we looked at last week. And the word that third word is the word clarity. We are people that need to live life intentionally. We are people that need to make sure that we are living with such a clarity. Clarity of how we are going to make our decisions, the choices, the clarity of where we're going with our life. Okay? Clarity. So how do we get clarity? Well, we get clarity by answering question number one from last week's message. So if you weren't here, I'm going to put it on the screen again. This is the question that will bring clarity to your life. The answer to this question will bring clarity. By the way, don't show hands here this morning, but how many people did their homework? And your homework was to go home with yourself or with your family and your kids and answer this one question. And here's the question we need to ask ourselves and answer. And that is, what is most important to our family? What matters the most? You can answer that as a family. You can answer that as an individual. I know last week our family, we went to Arby's after church and had some wonderful roast beef sandwiches. It was awesome. I love roast beef. And this is what we did as a family. We had two questions for everyone. The first question was this: what's the most important thing to you? And we started with Nolan, and we went on to Grant, and then Heather and I participated in the conversation. Question number one, what's the most important thing to you? And then the second question we asked as a family is, what's most important to us as a family? What is the one thing that above everything else, what is the thing that is most important? What matters the most, okay? And you say, why is the answer to that question so important? Here's why. The answer to that question will provide you with direction. The answer to that question will help you in every decision, every choice that you make from here on out. Be it a big, big decision or choice, or being in a very, very small decision or choice. The answer to that question provides you with direction. It will help you say yes to certain things, and it will also help you to say no to certain things. There's things I do because this is what matters most, and there's things that I don't do because this is what matters most. So I won't do those things. We won't do those things as a family. I like to think of it this way. It provides us with like what I would call a North Star. Let's see the picture there. The North Star. I love this photo. It took me all week to find it. Hopefully we can get it on the screen. It's there somewhere. Our North Star. Well, it's not there. How many people know we need a North Star? Just say amen. Amen. Act like you see it. Go out tonight and look at it. North Star. And anyway, the thing that about a North Star is that North Star doesn't move. All the other stars in the galaxies move, but the North Star remains constant. It provides that constant direction of what is due north. And see, that's what we need in our life. We need a North Star. We need to understand, we need to have a clarity that in my life, this is what matters most. For example, say I was single, and as a single person, I had the desire to be in a relationship and get married someday. Know what that North Star does is it provides me with direction. It provides with me that, hey, this is what's most important to me, meaning I'm not going to hook up with somebody that they don't have that same value. They don't have that same thing that's most important. And I know you single people sit there and say, well, why is that so important? But all of us married people, can we shake our head and say, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. It's important that you marry somebody that you're on the same page. So I want to just encourage everyone. Let's make sure that we know what's important. And you have to decide that for yourself. I'm not going to throw out answers. I'm going to make you think and say, hey, what's most important to me and what's most important to our family, okay? And last week we discovered there's a man in the Bible who was a man named Joshua. He was an elderly gentleman who took over the position after Moses died to lead the people from the wilderness into the promised land. And listen to Joshua. He's in his last years of living, and he's standing right before the children of Israel, and he gives these words in his farewell speech. He says, if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today who you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But listen to Joshua. Joshua 24, verse 15. He says these words, but as for me. And then he includes a bigger group. He says, as for me and my, everybody say the word, family, we're going to serve the Lord. Hands down, that was their North Star. Hands down, that's what mattered most to Joshua. Hands down, every other decision, every other choice they would make from that time on would be based upon the thought that we're going to serve God. So we're not going to do things that would hinder that from happening. We are going to serve God. That was his North Star. So let me ask you this question one more time because it's very, very important. Have you determined what matters most to you? And I know that I sound redundant. I even have people in my own family say, sometimes you repeat yourself. I do that with great purpose and intention because you need to understand this. You need to have a quiet time. You need to have a come to Jesus meeting sometime in your life. Is everybody listening? At least shake your head, act like you're listening. And you need to come to a place where you determine in my life, this is what's most important. Everything else falls under that. Every other decision, every other choice is based upon this one thing that's most important to me. Okay? And I've been very thrilled this week. I've had several people get with me and they begin to explain to me, we had the talk, we had the conversation, and this is what we came up with. That is very thrilling to me as a pastor to know that our words are be taken to heart, okay? So you need to determine what's most important because if you don't, you're going to be chaotic. Your life's going to be frantic. You're going to go just every direction. You're going to have nothing to guide you, nothing to lead you, no North Star. You need to determine what matters most. Do you got it? Say, I got it. Everybody say, move on now. Move on. Question two for a frantic family or a chaotic family or a chaotic life for a couple is this. It's on the screen. Are we willing to take a stand for what matters most? Are we willing to take a stand for what matters most? See, this is where it goes from your words to action. This is where it goes from your words to a reality that you live by. This is where it goes from your words to becomes a conviction. A conviction that's so strong that it keeps you up, that it shakes your life, that shapes your life. The question again is, are you willing to take a stand for that thing that you say matters most? Will you stand up when everybody else is going this direction? Will you stand strong for what you say is most important? So what I want to do today is I want us to open our Bibles. We're going to open our Bibles to a place that's kind of an uncharted book in the Bible. And what you're going to do is you're going to go to the book of Psalms, and you're going to turn right just a little, turn right. And we're going to look for the book of Daniel, because it's in the book of Daniel I'm going to share a story with you of three young men who did two things. Listen to me what these two guys did, or these three guys did. Two things. First of all, they determined what mattered most to them. These three young men, without a doubt, had a determination. They knew what mattered to them the most. And I'm just going to tell you what it is right off the get-go, and that is what mattered most to them is that they would serve God and worship God. That's what mattered most to these three guys, to serve God and to worship God. But number two, they were willing to take a stand for that. They were willing to take a stand for what really mattered. It wasn't just lip service. It wasn't just an answer they gave in a Sunday morning service. It became the reality that this is who we are, okay? And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to share three brief thoughts that we can take and make ours as we take a stand for what's important to us, okay? So we're going to the Old Testament book of Daniel. Did you find it? Say, you betcha. Okay? And if not, it's going to be on the screen anyway. Not the screen, but the screen, okay? And we're going to look at Daniel chapter 3. And I'm going to abbreviate the story quite a bit because there's a lot of verses there. We'll look at some key verses. But I'm kind of just going to talk you through the story. And that is, the story begins right there in verse 1. We're introduced to one of the main characters of the story, and his name is King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar. By the way, don't ever name your kid Nebuchadnezzar, okay? They'll call him Nebi. It won't be good. So anyway, Nebuchadnezzar was a king who was pretty much stuck on himself. He was a man that took himself very serious. He was egotistic. It was all about him. And we're told right away in the story that one day, or it probably took several months, that Nebuchadnezzar made this golden image. And we're told the dimensions of the golden image right there, and I think it's verse 1 if you look to your Bibles. He made this golden image that was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Solid gold. It must be a god, so they were told. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Heather and I are twisted, okay? We grew up in the same generation. Anybody ever hear of Russ Taff? Okay, let's move on. Let's go real quick. He sang a song. It went like this. 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Solid gold must be a god. So they were, oh, let's go, okay? Anyway. So he made this statue 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, solid gold, and he had this plan. The plan was simple. Music was going to begin to play. There were harps, there were drums, there were guitars. They were going to play this music. And when the music would begin to play, the people were told, they were instructed that at that moment you are to fall down and you are to worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar made. That was the instructions. That was the plan. And he took it one step further. He said those who did not fall down and worship would be thrown into a fiery furnace, kind of a method of capital punishment, a fiery furnace. Not the way I would want to go out, but that was the plan. So one day, they initiated the plan, and all throughout the region, the music would begin to play, and the scriptures tell us that men of every language, when they heard the music, they fell down, and they began to worship the golden image, okay, that Nebuchadnezzar made. But if you look at verse 12, if you want to look at verse 12, we're told that in that region there were three Jewish young men, Hebrew men, who refused to bow down and worship the golden image. And we're introduced to them, also names that you may not want to name your kid, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many people have heard those names before? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay? So they refused. Everybody else is bowing down. And you have three young men who refused to bow down to the golden image. They knew what the consequences would be. They knew the word was that you will be thrown into a fiery furnace. So how did King Nebuchadnezzar respond? Look to verse 13. It tells us that he became furious with rage. I mean, this is my plan. This is what everybody should do, and they're not doing. He became furious with rage, and he had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego brought before him. So he had these three young men brought into his presence. And there's a conversation that begins to take place. And these words are going to be on the screen. We're going to totally read these verses, beginning with verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar, he's angry. He's full of rage. He's furious. Listen to what he says. It says, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Hey, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods? Or you won't worship the image of gold that I have set up. Is that true?" Look at verse 15. "Now, when you hear the sound of the music, if you're ready to fall down and worship to the image I made, very good." So what's he doing? He's giving them a second chance. You didn't do well the first time. You disobeyed me. I'm going to give you another chance. But he says this, "But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately," not today or not tomorrow, but immediately you're going to be thrown into the blazing furnace. "Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" So he gives them another chance. What are they doing right now? They're faced with a choice. They're faced with a decision. Let's go back. We talked about having a North Star. We talked about what mattered most. These guys already determined that before this day occurred. These guys already determined that we're only going to worship and serve the God, the Creator. Now the fire is on. Now they're in the moment. They're in the moment. Let's pick it up in verse 16. Let's see what they're going to do. Are they going to bend? Are they going to break? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able." Everybody say those two words, "is able." He's able to save us from it. "And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." These guys had a clarity. Would you agree with that? These guys knew what mattered most. Hands down, if it means dying, we'll die. If it means going into that fiery furnace, so be it. Send us into the fiery furnace. And we read in the text that King Nebuchadnezzar became even more furious. So furious that this is what he did. He went over to the people and said, "Turn up the heat in the fiery furnace." We're told in the Bible that he said, "Turn up the heat to be seven times hotter than usual." And what he did is he commanded some of his strongest soldiers to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, "Hey, throw them into this blazing furnace." I want to let you know it was hot. How hot was it? Verse 22 tells us that the flames were so hot that the soldiers who threw them into the furnace were what? Killed. I mean, they weren't even in. They were just by the door. But it was so hot that they died because of the heat. Then we're told, as the story goes on, while these three Hebrew boys were in the furnace, check this out. This is my favorite part. King Nebuchadnezzar looked in, and he was amazed by what he saw. Listen to this question in verse 24. He asked this question to those in his presence. "Weren't there three men that were tied up and thrown into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king, that was the case. There was three men that we threw into the fire." Verse 25. He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth one looks like a son of the gods." Can you imagine what's going through Nebuchadnezzar's mind? Four guys, unharmed, unbound. Wow. So needless to say, King Nebuchadnezzar is just amazed by what he sees. So what he does is he shouts for these young boys to come out. These young men, come on out. And when they came out of the fiery furnace, the crowds that were there gathered around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And listen to the remarks of King Nebuchadnezzar, our last verses of the day. I think it begins in verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar, after seeing this miracle, says, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him, and they defied the king's command, and they were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or any language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I declare that they be cut into pieces. That's strong language, isn't it? You talk bad about their God, we're going to cut you into pieces, and their houses will be turned into piles of rubble. I think that's so cool. For no other God can save in this way. And then in the very last verse of that chapter, we see that what happened is now the king promotes these three young men to higher positions of authority within the kingdom. It's a great story. I think it's an amazing story of three men who were willing to take a stand for what mattered most. They had a clarity that we're going to serve and we're going to worship God. We know that in every decision we make, either it be easy or difficult, either being small or big, we know that this is what's most important and we're going to stay with it. So I want to just share real quick, it's only going to take a few minutes, three lessons we can learn from these guys that will be helpful for us after we determine what's most important to us. Three things we can learn, okay? Number one, we're going to go through these in about 4 minutes. Number one, our clarity must become a conviction. Does that make sense? Our clarity must become a conviction. I said I'm going to do this, or God laid it on my heart that this is most important. It's got to become a conviction that no matter what happens, no matter what somebody else may say or no matter what somebody else may do, this is a conviction of mine. And if everybody says that we're going to go due south, I'm going to go. If I had to stand north, I'm going to stay north because it's a conviction in my life that no matter what anyone else does, I'm going to do it because I believe that God laid on my heart that this is what's most important. It's got to become a conviction. It's got to be the thing that shapes you, keeps you up at night, it keeps you thinking. It's got to be that thing that is so strong in you, it's got to become a conviction. Let me ask you a question real quick. How many people, don't raise your hands, but you kind of think what you know what matters most. Has that become a conviction? Has that become a conviction that no matter what happens, we're going to do it? Maybe your thing last week was, we're going to be a family there. We're going to get out of debt this year, no matter what happens. That's most important. We're going to get out of debt. That's got to become a conviction now. Meaning, hey, there's going to be things that we're not going to be able to do this year. Are you hearing? Are you tracking with me? It's got to become a conviction. We're not going to do those things because what matters most is us getting out of debt. We may not be able to go to everything. We may not be able to be involved in every event. We may have to say no to things that everybody else is going to go do, but we have this conviction that we're going to get out of debt because we don't believe it's God's will for us to be in debt. It's got to become a conviction that you're going to stand by this thing no matter what happens. If the thing that matters most to me is I want to please God with my life, that's got to be a conviction. And when I'm faced with a choice and a decision, when no one else is around, I know that I'm in the presence of God. It's conviction. God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll try to do the right thing. It's got to become a conviction. Number two, this is essential. Please, 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 please hear me out here. The second thing you need to do is you need to surround yourself with like-minded friends. I love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They agreed together. This is what's most important. We're going to serve God. We're going to worship. They were able to be around like-minded friends. And this is important because you're going to need support from time to time to take a stand for what you said was most important. You need people in your life that, yeah, Mike, I'm with you. Yeah, Mike, I'll support you when you go after this. I know this is important. It's important to me too. See, this is why I love men's ministry. Because you're getting these guys together. There's all kind of variety of guys, old guys, young guys. I mean, we just have a great variety of different men that are attending our men's ministry. And I love it because that's my support. These are guys that say, yeah, Mike, I'm with you. And you need people with you. You need people that are going to encourage you. Because it's going to be hard. There's going to be days when the thing that's most important to you is not going to be easy to carry out. You don't need people in your life that say, oh, just compromise. You don't have to be that serious about it. You need people in your life to say, Mike, or whoever you are, I want to encourage you. Stay after it. Hey, let's pray together. You can do this thing. Don't give up. Don't ever, ever give up. If this is in your heart to do, don't listen to what the masses of other people are saying. You got to stick with it. And we all need those type of people in our lives. People that when they speak, it gives you courage. Courage to keep on doing the thing that matters most to you. Am I showing enough passion here? Because this is important. Get around people that are going to pull you up, not bring you down. Get around some like-minded, convicted people that are going to just say, we're in this together, let's go. So think about those people who are closest to you. Are they bringing you up or are they bringing you down? Are they with you or are they against you? Or some, I think even worse, some of these people are just so apathetic they don't have an opinion. Get some people with some guts next to you. Amen? Let's go home. Third thing. You need to remember when you're taking a stand for what matters most is you need to know this. God is able. God is able to be there with you to see this thing through. If God is for you, who could be against you? I want to let you know, if you've determined what's most important, don't give up. Get good people in your corner. But most importantly, know that you're not alone, but God is with you. He is able to help you, to see you through. I think the verse, it's not on my notes, but I think I put it on the overhead, Philippians 4:13. Let's read that verse together. Can we read that verse together? Let's go. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. If you prayed about it, if you thought about it, and you said, Lord, what is most important in my life? And he's kind of spoken to your heart. He's laid something on your heart. You know what? You can do everything through Christ, who gives you strength. So let's review in closing what's the most important thing. Please stand up for something, or you'll be swayed by anything. Please determine what's most important. Please take the few minutes and pray about it. Say, God, what's most important? What do you want me to go after? What's most important? And then question two, are you going to take a stand? Is it not going to be just be talk, but it's going to become a conviction. It's going to become a reality. It's going to become a lifestyle. Will you take a stand? Let's pray. So, Lord, I come to you in prayer this morning. I pray for us as your people. I pray, God, that we will have a clarity of thought of what's most important. I pray everyone here will do their homework and will sit in your presence, sit alone in quietness. And they'll determine that question, the answer to that question, what's most important. That thing will become their North Star that will lead them and guide them in their future choices and decisions. And that will become a conviction. God, I pray that we'll surround ourselves with good people who will lift us up and encourage us and not bring us down and step on us. And God, most of all, I pray that we'll stay connected to you. Because God, you are able. You are able to help us through the thing that you laid on our heart to do and become. So, Lord, I pray a blessing over these people. I pray that we'll be a people with such clarity that we're like we're going after this thing. We're going to go after this thing no matter what gets in our way. We're going to go after this thing with everything we've got. We're going to make our life count. We're going to live for what matters. So help us, I pray today, in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. Amen.